This morning, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians here, and it's incredible because this letter that Paul pens to this church, we see in Acts 18, when Paul gets in and comes into Corinth, and he spends time there with some Jewish people who happen to be Italian. Go ahead and read it. Or had just come from Italy. And we see that Paul has established a group of believers, but then he's moved on. And as he writes back to this group of believers, he does what he does often in his writings, and he gives thanks for them. And I want us to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says this: Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother. Good luck with that one. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. He's faithful. Let's pray this morning. Father, today we thank you for your word. We pray that God, and in through your people here today, you would move. That God, you would stir our hearts. That you would draw our hearts. And that, Lord, we would fix our eyes on you today. The one in which we are truly thankful for. So, God, we ask that you would move in this place. And that, God, we would be open to hearing your voice. Not voice of a man, but, Lord, your spirit would speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as my son answered that question and said, well, Dad, I'm most thankful for God. And then as he expounded and said, well, we wouldn't have things like Fortnite if not for God. And I thought, okay. Tell you what, I've been learning a lot of the emojis for Fortnite. Is that what it's called? An emoji? Emo? Oh, it's just emo. See, when I was growing up, emo meant something different. But he was like, okay, yeah, that is, I got it mixed up with the movie. Yeah, he was like, Dad, look at all these, and he's showing me these dances and things, and I think, oh boy, Fortnite, here we go. And his aspect of thanking God was that we have all that we have because of God. Pretty insightful for a 9-year-old. And I wondered for us, what are we most thankful for? Is it a spouse? Is it family? Is it some material things? What are we most thankful for? And maybe you, like my kids, would say, I'm most thankful for God. Well, is that just in a general sense or a specific reason or nature? And Paul here is writing to the church in Corinth, and what I love about this is he's about to bring correction. Yet he starts with being thankful. He's about to bring them some correction because he's heard some things about them. And it hasn't been necessarily good news. But before he brings this correction, he begins by saying, I am always thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for you. I think this is amazing, an amazing perspective. Can I tell you, when my kids are not acting right, I'm never usually thinking, God, I'm thankful. Normally, I don't say to them, well, first, I'd like to tell you that I'm thankful to the Lord for you. And usually my tone is not that down here. But here, Paul, he's about to bring some correction, and he begins it with giving thanks, being thankful. And I wonder for us in our lives, what are we most thankful for? As I was sitting in the cold, no, it was warm. As I was sitting outside, and yeah, that's what I was doing, sitting outside. And as I was sitting outside, and I began to be in prayer, God, what aspect, you know, I'm so thankful for all that God has done and what He's given me. And what aspect can we look at this morning together with your people that would challenge us, that would encourage us? And I knew we were going to be coming around the Lord's table this morning. And this overwhelming feeling within my heart was something that I'm most grateful for, and that's this, that I'm most grateful for the grace of God. Ephesians 2 tells us that it is by grace that we are saved. The truth is, without the grace of God, every single one of us, we are in bad shape. When we were unable, the grace of God was revealed and extended and paid a price for us that we could not pay. And that today we could know relationship with God, that today we could stand in right standing with God because of the grace that was poured out. The grace of God that was given in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this morning, just in this passage, quickly, I want to look at just some aspects in which grace brings, the grace of God brings to us, here that Paul reveals, here that Paul kind of highlights within this passage here, just a few things. And I pray that it would challenge us to not just remember the grace of God, but to really give thanks and to be grateful for the grace of God. Here in verse 2, we see kind of this first facet. And Paul writes to the, or declares, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The first thing that I want us to see that the grace of God brings is that the grace of God sanctifies us. It sanctifies us. Now, I'm not sure what picture comes in your mind when you think of sanctified. Maybe it's a white long robe with maybe some like ornamental things flowing from it, or a big white robe with a golden necklace with a cross on it, that we are sanctified. But can I tell you that this word sanctified literally means just set apart? That we have been set apart, that those who believe and have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that we've been saved by the grace of God, and we have been set apart. We are no longer our own, but we are now His. We are part of His family by the grace of God. This is good news for us today, because we all need to be sanctified, because what we are in is sin. Because of man's disobedience in the beginning, maybe you're like, well, that was some other man. Okay, not us. Disobedient to God's word. Because of humanity's sin, we are all born into it. Every single one of us. But because of the grace of God, He's provided a way through His atonement on the cross, through His sacrifice on the cross, and by His grace that we could be saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2. 8:9, that we would be saved through faith. But it's the grace of God. It's not by works. We can't earn it. but we can receive it. Boy, that's the best gift. That's the best kind of gift. As I was growing up, I was able to earn some things. My parents would say, "Do you want that? Well, you have to." Okay. Anybody else done that with children? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, don't be mad about it. This is good. This is good parenting. This is instilling some work ethic. It's okay. But there was some things that I could receive if I earned it, if I worked for it, if I did some different tasks, I could earn it. But can I tell you that there were better gifts that I just received because? That I was just able to get because. In a month or so, we're going to celebrate another holiday here. And can I tell you that my kids have already been circling catalogs and putting in their requests? I'm thinking, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. I came home from sitting outside yesterday, and my wife had the tree up, Christmas tree, and I thought, oh, we're doing this? It's November. And she's like, no, we're doing this. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. So they get excited because these are gifts that they don't have to earn. They just receive because they are a part of our family. As a son and daughter in our family, they're about to receive some gifts just because. Can I tell you that those kind of gifts are the best? When I've received gifts just because, and it's not just because I've earned it. Now maybe you'd say, well, no, I don't agree with that. I think the best thing is to earn it. No, there's a place for that, but the best gifts are when we just receive. And can I tell you that that's God's gift to us? By his son Jesus Christ, the grace of God is just one that we would receive. And that as we receive, as we believe, put our faith in Christ Jesus, that as we receive this gift of grace, we are sanctified, not by our works, but by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. I've talked about this openly before, that I've struggled sometimes with my testimony. I've never been a drug addict. I've never been addicted to any kind of medical or lawful or unlawful prescription or drug. I don't have this great thing that I was so lost, but then I've been found. And I've always struggled with that. God, I don't have a testimony like some others, but the Lord really revealed something to me here as I was sitting outside. He said, you think your testimony is about you, but the testimony that you have is about me. And the truth is, we all have a great testimony because it's not about what we used to be. It's about what Christ has done for us. That we share a testimony. It's not just let me tell you about what God has done for me and what he's taken me through. But let me tell you about what Jesus has done for us. Boy, this is grace. It's grace because we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Yet God gave it. That if we would put our faith, our hope in him, believe, that we would be saved and sanctified, set apart, holy. This doesn't mean you're perfect. This is good news today. That can I just be honest? I'm not perfect. Boy, I have some moments. I might have some moments here today. But can I tell you that his grace is sufficient for me? That his grace is not contingent or dependent upon my perfection. His grace is contingent and dependent on the work of the cross and Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Now, I don't want to make a mockery of the cross, and that's why I've committed, and he's Lord of all, not some. Not Lord of some, but Lord of all. That he would truly be. And that doesn't mean I don't mess up sometimes, but that means as I do, his spirit brings this conviction to my heart, not condemnation, but conviction. That when I treat somebody poorly, it's like, ooh, that wasn't the best. That when I choose or decide to move in a certain way that maybe isn't the best, there's this thing inside that's like, wait a second. This is not what I've called you to. This is not what I desire for you. That in Christ we have been set apart, that no longer are we in sin as sinful people, but we are God's chosen people in Christ. Boy, that's something to be thankful for. He has done for you and for me more than we could ever even begin to really imagine. The truth is, the real love of God that has been bestowed upon us is hard to grasp. I once told people that when I became a father and held my child in my arms for the first time. Do you remember that, Eric, Pastor Eric? You know, you used to fit right here. I mean, right in this area for your dad. You used to fit right there. Not anymore. Oh, he still does. Not anymore. I used to tell people when I became a father, the true love, the love that I had for a child that was undeserved, but that he was mine, and there's like parts of me there, and this is a part of me now. And I used to say that is the greatest. It brings you to another step of understanding God's love, but can I tell you there's still so much more that I don't understand? When I look at his word, and it declares that God is love, and not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. That while we were still sinners, and as we were sinners, we were the opposition, we were the adversary against God, that as we were sinners, he loved us so much that he laid his life down for us. We have been given so much, and we have been set apart not to live in a life of sin, but to live in a life of desiring to honor God. That we would be set apart, that we would be sanctified, that we would be holy because of the grace of God. And I wonder for us, how many of us are really living a life set apart? Not a life that has a part of God in it. We're good at that. But I'm talking about a life set apart. Set apart for the glory and honor of God. A life that would declare each and every moment of each and every day, God, I'm not sure what you have in store for me today, but I pray that I would declare your glory. I pray that your love would flow through me today. I pray that your spirit would speak to me today. How many of us are living that life set apart? Can I tell you, if you have received the grace of God by faith, that you are called to be set apart? That's what the grace of God does, that we would be set apart. Why does Paul talk about this? The church in Corinth. Corinth is this kind of this metropolitan area. It's a port area, and it was very influential politically. Lots of wealth going through it. Comparatively, it'd be like a Las Vegas, where whatever happens in Corinth would stay in Corinth. It was full of sin. And Paul here writes to the believers and said, you are called to be set apart. Not to indulge or engage in the things, well, Pastor, if God didn't want it to be, why would he allow it? No. We know that we have an adversary who wants nothing more than to kill, steal, and destroy all that God would plan or would desire to do in your life. An adversary that the Bible talks about as a lion roaring and roaming, waiting for the ones that he would devour. Can I tell you that my heart for us is to influence our city and our community, not be the ones who are influenced by our city and our community. You have to be in it to influence it. But oftentimes when we get in it, we get influenced by it. We get pulled in rather than saying, no, I'm a part of this, but I've been set apart. I am God's. Therefore, this is not for me. Sin and the indulging of sin is not for me. Why? Because I've been called, I've been set apart. Not because I'm perfect, but because God has called me by faith, that as I've received his grace, the grace of God, it sets me apart. And I am his now. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And my desire is to glorify him. Is that our desire? Are we thankful for the fact that he set us apart? Are we thankful for the fact that he sanctifies us? My heart today is that we would gain a new perspective and that we would be thankful that in and through Jesus Christ we've been set apart from sin and set apart from the things of this world, that we would honor and glorify God in everything we do. The second thing I want us to see that the grace of God does for us is seen in verses 4 and 5. It says this, Paul declares, I always thank God for you because of his grace. See, there's the key. I think we can always thank God for those around us because of God's grace. The grace that we have given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Do you understand? Do you know that enrichment that the grace of God brings to us? You may be like, no, Pastor, I'm still waiting on that enrichment. I've been waiting on that money to come in. When we think enrichment, oftentimes we think dollars. I know about a month ago or a couple weeks ago, there was a lot of believers waiting for and believing for an enrichment. Right? Again, it goes back to this aspect of the chance. We look at things that we really have control over as, oh, I can't do anything, it's never going to happen. And then there's things that we got like a 0.00001% chance, and we're like, maybe, just maybe. It may be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, that's good. No problem. But maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about. And can I tell you, it's okay. The grace of God is good. And the good news here is this, that when the grace of God comes, it not only sanctifies us, but it enriches us. And can I tell you that if we would grasp and properly understand enrichment, as far as the grace of God, that we would, it holds the secret of thanksgiving and living a life that's thankful. See, because if we would understand enrichment more, not as in dollars and cents, but more as in enhancement of value and quality, then we could give thanks no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. Can I tell you the enemy, and why does Paul bring this up? Why does he talk about this? You'll only find this word enrichment in here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and also in 2 Corinthians, and that's it. You won't find it anywhere else. And why is he talking about this? Because Corinth in this time was a place where people would come to become wealthy. And not only to become wealthy, but to declare vocally, to be insightful to people and to help people gain wisdom and knowledge. And they would stand in temples, they would stand in marketplaces and courts, and they would declare insight or wisdom, and then the people would come by and pay them for it. That's why when Paul writes this, he says that because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way. In every way. Says this, that in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. See, that in Christ is everything we need. It's not Christ plus, it's Christ only. We don't have to add to the gospel. Jesus is the gospel and he is enough. He is everything that we need. We don't need more insight. We don't need more knowledge. We need more Jesus. We don't need, well, you know, I'm just waiting for just a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. No. We need more Jesus. That we would gain more of an understanding of who he is, what he's done for us. Maybe this morning I pray that you would have the same kind of aha moment or just really insightful moment as I had as I'm sitting in the woods, is that my testimony is not about what I have done, it's all about what he has done. And my testimony is all about what he has done, and what he has done is good. And it's amazing. That's why we used to sing these songs, Amazing Grace. Because it truly is hard to comprehend. Because it's so much more than that which we've ever known and that which we've ever given. Yet his grace is amazing today. And he enriches us. See, the problem today is many of us will, like my children, the enemy of thanksgiving and living a life that's thankful is envy in comparison. See, the problem today is we see somebody have something. Come on up here, Pastor Eric. We see somebody have something. I mean, I could see myself in those babies, you know? Sneaker game. I've already exposed this. If you're visiting, this isn't new. I mean, don't tell me $10 again. You know, you don't get mirrors on your shoes for $10.
I don't pay over $30 for any of my shoes.
Mm. You know, if I was to look at the sneaker, can you see the sneakers? Sorry. Can you put your foot up a little bit? I got you. Oh, get the side view because they want to be able to see the reflection. The sneaker game is on. I mean, do you know what I mean? I mean, if I was to be drawn to say, man, and maybe you're like, Pastor, I think you may have a problem because this is the second time now you've been talking about this, but it's a perfect analogy that which somebody else has. If we're so fixated on why we don't have what somebody else has, we'll forget about what we do have. Can I tell you that my shoes are okay? Actually, I like them. They're comfortable. They breathe. I enjoy them. Thank you. Perfect. But can I tell you that we do that? We get drawn into this trap? Now, maybe you're like, no, I don't care about sneakers or shoes. Okay. But what is it that you've been looking at somebody else wondering, why them? Why not me? Can I tell you what will kill a thankful heart is comparison? Looking at somebody else and saying, I can't believe them. Why, God? You know how messed up they are. As if we ourselves are not. But see, when you're thankful and when you understand that you are enriched by the grace of God, I can celebrate sneaker game of somebody else. And don't have to be envious. I can be excited, I can champion, I can celebrate someone else and what they have rather than thinking, oh, awesome, them again. Again? I mean, already with the ones that look like somebody drew them and like graffitied them, and now mirrors. You know, I mean, what in the, you know, I mean, why? You know, I could be so fixated on what I don't have, or I could be grateful and thankful for what I do have. Can I tell you, maybe you, that's silly, but we do that. We do that with one another. We do that here in church community. Oh, I can't believe they were healed. God, you know what I'm going through. Why them? Boy, I can't believe that they got it back together. That they're doing good. I can't believe it. God, you know I've been faithful. As if he's forgotten you. Can I tell you that the grace of God enriches us in every way? Can I tell you that maybe you don't have that which someone else down the road or someone else who's sitting at your table may have, but can I tell you that which you do have we can be thankful for? That we could either focus on that which is not or that which is. Well, Pastor, I'm not even looking forward to this holiday because I got nobody. Can I tell you, you do, and his name is Jesus? You know, I'm just frustrated. It's just going to be me or me and this or that. And can I tell you that we could either be upset or fixate on what we don't have, or we could be grateful for that which we do? Can I tell you that the blessing of life is a gift? I've only been here for 4 years. But can I tell you, there's people who are no longer on this earth because they've departed. Their journey here on earth has been over. And they're no longer here. Can I tell you, some of them, it's like, okay, you know, they lived a good life, but then there were others who had not reached that age point in which you think, okay, well, you know, life is frail. The truth is, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So that every day when we wake up, it's a gift of God. That we can be thankful for the breath that we have, or we could be complaining for the shoes or the things that we don't have. And my prayer is that we would be people who truly understand the grace of God, that it enriches us. That we would not be fixated on things that moth and rust and decay, but that which is eternal. That which is eternal. That we don't have to worry about materialistic things. You know, those things are nice. Don't get me wrong. But it's not everything. And the truth is, you know what? One day he's going to put that shoe on. And he's going to fall some... No, I'm not. I don't want to speak this over you. Those shoes are going to fail him one day. I just say that. How about that? I don't want to put nothing bad. I saw you. Nope, don't want to do it. You know, the truth is, material things will fail you. But God, and that which is eternal, the grace of God, it never fails. It is enduring. So that which we can be sanctified, set apart, but that which we are also enriched by. What's the key to having a heart of thanksgiving, to being thankful? It's not getting to eat more turkey. It's not hoping that there'll be pumpkin pie with lots of whipped cream. Oh, just me? Just me? Okay, all right. that was perfect. You know, that it's not about more stuff. It's about being thankful for that which God has given us, the enrichment that God has blessed us with. Ask the worship team to come. I've got a little bit more, but I feel like this. We need to round a corner here a little bit. The last thing that I want us to see is here. It's seen in. Seen in verse eight and nine, and it says this. that the grace of God, that he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I'm so grateful today that we serve a God who is faithful. And that by and in and through the grace of God, we have been called into, and I'm going to end right here, a fellowship. Do you know why we gather? It's not because we have decided to like some different ideas or some certain ideas. We come together each and every week as the family of God. Why? Because the grace of God. Because of the grace of God. We have been brought into his fellowship. And this fellowship with is a two-pronged fellowship. It's a fellowship with God. And we see that when Jesus, as he was crucified and he declared, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit, the veil that which separated God from humanity was torn. That we no longer would have to be separate from God, but that we could enjoy a fellowship with God. This word fellowship is the Greek term koinonia. And it means a closeness. It doesn't mean an acquaintance. As I look around, I see lots of people I know on the surface. There's a surface understanding. There's a surface relationship. But can I tell you that God's desire for us when it comes to him is that it would be more than a surface level relationship? That it would be a fellowship? That there would be a oneness? A oneness with him. Jesus often referred to it when he prayed, God, that they would be one as we are one. That we would see and we would understand that God's desire for us is to be close to us. And that we would be close to him. See, the truth is the only way we have fellowship with God is by the grace of God. We are unable to have closeness, intimate relationship with God without the grace of God. You might be like, well, that's a candle and some pans. No, but that which it represents is so much more. It's so much more. You see, today we are going to celebrate and come around the Lord's table as we are at tables. And we are able to engage in a fellowship with God, a closeness with God, not because we've earned it, but because we've received a grace, the grace of God. For you have been saved by grace through faith. This is good news for us today. And I want to invite you, maybe you're visiting here this morning, we're so glad that you're here. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you that as the ushers come through with the elements, not yet, but yeah, way to be ready. That's the chair, that's the danger chair. So way to be ready. As the ushers come through with the elements, we want to invite you to celebrate, to remember with us that which Jesus has done for us. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can I tell you that partaking in this is not a good idea just because of what the Bible says? That it is just bread and juice. Sorry, those who are maybe hoping for something else. It's just juice. This is just bread and juice, but it means so much more. It means so much more that today, me and you, we can understand what it means to be set apart, sanctified in Christ because of the grace of God. We can know what it means to be enriched in every way. We can know what it means to have fellowship with God. Oneness, closeness with God. Not that he's just some distant thing out in somewhere in the expanse of the universe, but that he is friend, Savior, Lord. And he speaks to us. Speaks through his word, speaks by his spirit. Can I tell you that today he's invited us because of the grace of God? We can understand fellowship with God. Not at a distance, but close. Maybe you're like, well, I don't know what that means. I've never experienced that. Well, you understand that any kind of closeness requires effort. See, I said I have some surface relationships, and can I tell you, I desire more, but I know also I have limited time and lots of kids. And I've said it before, but they're first. Because success for me is not building a big church. It's raising a healthy family. See, the truth is this. I can see lots of people come to know Jesus, and that's great, but I don't measure success that way. My success is in that which my kids, when I say, what are you thankful for the most? And they say, God. I think, yes. Not because like, yes, the brainwashing has worked, but yes, because they've seen something. Not just something that's taught, but something that's caught. That there's something more than just this idea or that just this book of pages. But there's a living God who desires that relationship with us. And we can have closeness on a real level. But then we can also stand at a distance. And my prayer today is that we would be thankful not just for the access that we have to God, but thankful to the relationship that we have to God. See, access doesn't always mean relationship. When we don't put forth any effort, any time, God's a thought. He's something out there, but I don't know him here. Can I tell you that's not because God's keeping you at a distance? Sometimes we are doing that. See, the good news of the gospel is that God, in his rich love and mercy, although he knows everything about us, he loves us still. See, sometimes we keep people at a distance because if they know us, then they may not like us. Oh, just me? Can I tell you, for some of you, the reason we haven't invited you... No, I'm just kidding. Like me or not, here I am. That's it. It is what it is. You know, the hard part is we keep people at a distance because we think, well, if they know who I really am, they may not love me. And we almost think that about God, too. I gotta keep God back because if he knew... See, the Bible says he knows our thoughts. He knows not only our actions, but our thoughts. And the good news is he still loves you. And he still desires to bring you close. And it's by his grace, the grace of God, which brings us into fellowship with God. But the men come at this time, and we are going to celebrate. We are going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. The grace of God, the one who grants and gives us access. Why? Not because we've earned it, but because of his great love and his grace extended and poured out to us. This morning, can I encourage us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to be thankful?